I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Well, they're militarily defeated. In their own minds, maybe they don't know that, but I think they do because I deal with them. And we cannot ever let Iran have a nuclear weapon. But they are militarily defeated. They have no Navy. They have no Air Force. They have no anti-aircraft weaponry. They have no radar. They have no leaders. Their leaders are gone. Very interesting because, you know, they make a deal and then they break it, then they make a deal, they break it. It's a difficult group. But from a military standpoint, I mean, if we left today, it would take them 20 years to rebuild.
Then is President Trump talking about the situation with Iran. And he says, if we left today, if we cleared out of the entire region, it would take 20 plus years for Iran to rebuild. But you know where they would spend their first dollar, the first dime, rebuilding their capability of creating a nuclear weapon. So we can't really leave. Trump has backed off, still saying, because Pakistan has said, I think you guys can bring things together, maybe have a peace deal within a week. Because a new Iranian regime, the one that keeps coming in after we decapitate the rest of them, as Trump pointed out yesterday, they are more malleable. In other words, they are more frightened to death at will they be the next to be targeted by U.S. drones or whatever else. So they want to find a deal to survive. And I think right now it is a personal survival issue more than it is a survival for the Iranian regime and everything it's represented since 1979. It makes no difference as long as they recognize we're defeated. And anything else we do, it's just going to bring more pain and suffering. But, again, the leadership of Iran, even though they may be quaking in their boots that they could be the next to suddenly have a drone pop into their neighborhood, they do not care if the Iranian people suffer. They want them to suffer. Lincoln, them suffer. Trump does not want them to suffer. That's why he keeps looking for a way to avoid directly attacking all of Iran. And we could do it overnight. I mentioned this on day one. We could level the entire nation of Iran to rubble no higher than 3 feet high. Now, they've got a lot of nuclear material buried deep into the mountains, but if we shut everything down, it won't make any difference. It'll be there forever until it is removed, hopefully under careful consideration and controls. Trump has said we will no longer use military naval vessels to escort ships through the Strait of Hormuz. And as long as Iran does not fire on them or try to hold them up for toll, yeah, you gotta pay us a little money, then we will stand back and let that happen. We are still blockading the Iranian ports that would receive or try to export oil and in turn get money back. We're not going to let that happen. But we're going to let other ships do their job. And some are coming out of United Arab Emirates excited to come through the strait and start delivering oil to the rest of the world. And that's why Iran continues to fire on the United Arab Emirates, their neighbor, another Muslim nation. Because the radicalists inside Iran, they don't want anyone to succeed except them. They are full jihad. But it's weakening. Because the leadership is disappearing, vaporized, to be more precise. Welcome to hour number one, Larry Connors, USA, May 7, 2026. We're here every Monday through Friday for you from 6 to 8 p.m. And when we're on the air, We deliver news, analysis, opinion, and education. You're going to learn more in this hour than you do right now. I promise you that. Just listen and you'll find out. In our next hour, Alan Dershowitz, longtime Democrat, since he was 12 years old, basically, says, right now, I'm terrified by those who represent the Democrat Party. I think you get a reason why, but I want you to hear directly from Alan Dershowitz, law professor emeritus at Harvard University. He says, I'm done with the Democrat Party. That is not good news for them. I've been running a commentary today talking about Barack Obama's insisting, oh, there's a talk of a rift between Democrats and the far left inside our party, but it's a minor deal, and I think we have a lot of Republicans who agree with us. They're not Republicans. They're not conservatives. And we might have a lot of Democrats who agree with us. And again, they're not conservatives either. But I think we will all get along together and come together. Kumbaya. And yet James Carville, the political analyst, says they're a bunch of loonies. They're like a bunch of clowns in a crack car. I think that's a good description. Later in this hour, the U.S. is planning to wage war on the Mexican drug cartels because Mexico is not doing the job. And I understand why. They fear for their lives down there. If they try to stand up against drug cartel, you and your whole family could be executed. So I appreciate what they're facing. And quite honestly, those inside Mexico would be glad to see the cartel wiped out, but they're not going to say a word. And they might be forced to engage U.S. forces. We will get into that later in this hour. And our story behind the story, on this date, 1945, Germany signed off an unconditional surrender, ending World War II. But there's a story inside that story, and how General Dwight D. Eisenhower, the leader of the Allied troops in command, how he responded to the Nazi general standing in front of him, basically asking for pity and respect. He got none. You will love hearing what Ike Eisenhower did to him on this date, 1945. Once again, back to our current situation, Iran. And Secretary of State Rubio says, keep in mind, Iran does, and by Iran, he's talking about the regime, does not care what happens to the people.
Look, they're suffering devastating damage to their economy. You're right. But it's not that they're able to withstand pressure. It's that they don't care that their people are suffering. You understand, right?
Yep.
There's a difference between we can withstand pressure and we actually don't care. Now, I think there are people in their system that care more than others. You know, some of the elected people that you see, some of the people you see on television with the suits on, you know, those guys care because they know at the end of the day they have to live in the reality. And then you have another element of their government, the clerical, the clerics, the IRGC types, who probably are more immune to that and care less. They're more interested in regime survival at all costs.
Regime survival and personal survival at all cost. So Secretary of State Rubio is saying, that's what we're going to see. In the meantime, our NATO ambassador that's helping oversee and work on some of these issues and try to bring some resolution to it, our NATO ambassador has come forward, and he wants you to hear this. And keep in mind, he's ambassador to NATO, Matt Whitaker.
I've had a lot of conversations with the Germans. Obviously, President Trump is at all times seeing what's in the interest of the American people.
Yes.
And seeing how we need to use our resources.
Yes.
It's not just a matter of protecting our allies or somehow investing American taxpayer dollars in Europe for their security. It is about, you know, the United States being able to, one, do what we've done in Iran to change dramatically the state of play in the Gulf, and to also make sure that we protect our homeland, to protect our other interests around the globe.
Perfect. That's exactly what a president should be doing. Are you... I'm sorry, I started to ask, are you listening, Joe Biden? And with... And I mean this in all sincerity. He's probably incapable of understanding anything at this point. assuming he's even in the loop. He may be watching Woody Pecker cartoons. And that's a perfect place for him to be. And Secretary of State Rubio pointing out, look, we are backing off the strait. We're no longer going to escort naval or any kind of ships through container, oil, or whatever else, but we're not going to allow the Iranian ports to be entered or exited. And we will not fire upon Iran unless...
Now, what's really important for you to report and for everyone to understand is this is not an offensive operation. This is a defensive operation. And what that means is very simple. There's no shooting unless we're shot at first. Okay, we're not attacking them. We're not. But if they're attacking us or they're attacking a ship, you need to respond to that. You're not going to let some fast boat come up on a ship and shoot it up. We're going to respond to it, and we've been successful at it. I don't know what the exact number is, but I know a number of those fast boats have now been targeted and will continue to be if they pose a threat to our forces. We'll shoot down drones, we'll shoot down missiles, but it's defensive in nature. This is defensive. So if you hear stories about attacks and launching of firing back and forth, it's not back and forth. We are only responding if attacked first. This is a defensive operation, and that's what's occurring here.
And that, I can't stress to you enough, still puts our troops downrange in great danger. We won't shoot at them until they shoot at us. In other words, they're going to get the first strike. We hopefully will be able to blunt it, and we will immediately respond overwhelmingly. Today, the Pope received the American Secretary of State Marco Rubio in the Vatican, and they obviously were discussing all international conflicts and the strong relationship between the Vatican and the U.S., so it should be considered a successful meeting. But again, Secretary of State Rubio asked the question that anyone of any sane mind would raise.
The president basically said is that Iran can't have a nuclear weapon because they would use it against places that have a lot of Catholics and Christians and others for that matter. It goes back to the central point. I think the president, without trying to speak for him, but I think I can characterize it this way. He doesn't understand why anybody, leave aside the Pope, the president, and I, for that matter, I think most people, I cannot understand why anyone would think that it's a good idea for Iran to ever have a nuclear weapon. Look what they're doing with the Straits right now. They're holding the whole world hostage. They have these sailors, you know, on commercial ships that are going to starve to death out there. They don't care. They don't care that this is melting down the economies around the world, even of their own allies. This is what they're doing with the Straits. What do you think they would do if they had a nuclear weapon? They would hold the world hostage with that nuclear weapon. That's what they would do. They would do exactly to the world with a nuclear weapon what they're doing now with the Straits. And I think the president's point is how anyone cannot see that as an unacceptable outcome and an unacceptable risk is beyond him. It's puzzling. And someone has to do something about it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The difference between this president and like the six presidents that preceded him were that he's the only one that's actually been willing to do something about it. Everyone says Iran can't have a nuclear weapon, but you got to do something about it at some point. And he's been willing to address that threat. And that's what he promised he would do when he got elected, by the way, is address threats like this.
And I'm sorry, I'm going to have to disagree with the Secretary of State Rubio, or let me reemphasize when he says to all of this that anyone's willing to have Iran have a nuclear capability, it's puzzling. No, it's not puzzling. You're an idiot. You're an idiot. You put yourself in harm's way, and I guarantee you, you'd be asking, protect me, protect me, protect me. In the meantime, Trump is ready to open another military front. This time, the focus, the Mexican drug cartel.
Tonight, six U.S. officials briefed on the matter tell NBC News the Trump administration is considering using drone strikes against the Mexican drug cartels that are importing deadly fentanyl into the United States. The officials told us no final decisions have been made, and they said the administration is hoping for Mexico's cooperation. But they say it has not ruled out unilateral action. Acting Drug Enforcement Administrator Derek Maltz told me in a text exchange this week that all options should be on the table because drug cartels have killed more Americans than Al-Qaeda and ISIS. The Mexican president responding to our reporting today.
Nos coordinamos, colaboramos, no nos...
We've always said we do not agree. First, because we're not in agreement with any military intervention, she says, adding, it would not solve anything. President Trump paved the way for military action when his government designated Mexican drug cartels as terrorist organizations.
They are terrorist organizations. As you heard him point out, they have killed more people in our nation than we've had in other actions. So they're going to continue to go after the Sinaloa cartel, the Jalisco New Generation cartel, trying to control trafficking routes and cut into their distribution networks that reach into 200 U.S. cities. You have a child or a grandchild, 10, 11 years old. They're not messing in drugs. They're not planning on doing it. But along the line, the people they fall in with might be experimenting with drugs. And they decide to go ahead and try one. And it's laced with fentanyl. One try, and they're dead. The Mexican leadership, I believe this in my heart, I truly do. The legitimate Mexican leadership that wants to be free of this, they welcome what Trump's doing, but they don't dare say that in the public. Sheinbaum, she is already bowing down to the cartel because she knows they will come in and take her away. And you'll find her hanging from a bridge. NBC reports on what the drug fight involves.
We recently spent a day with the DEA in the Phoenix division, where 60% of the fentanyl enters the U.S.
So this is our drug vault.
And where a top DEA official says the new intelligence gathered by the CIA has been helping.
So now we get the intelligence community involved and the Department of Defense, and all of us working together can target and eliminate the threat.
With tens of thousands of Americans dying each year from fentanyl coming in mostly from Mexico, the idea of American military action against drug cartels has long been contemplated. Even fictionalized in the 2015 film Sicario.
What are the rules of engagement? Free, my friend.
Drone strikes could target cartel leaders, their security forces, and their manufacturing facilities. Similar to how the U.S. used Reaper drones in the Middle East and South Asia, this Taliban drug facility in Afghanistan destroyed in a split second by 400 500-pound guided bombs. But many experts say U.S. military action without Mexico's consent would spark outrage in Mexico and cripple cooperation. They also question whether it would work to stop the flow of drugs. Drug warriors say it's time to raise the cost to the drug cartels.
Yeah, it is.
Cartels at their root are evil.
All right, let me leave you with some good news. Carolyn Leavitt has had her baby. It's just announced. Vivian, her daughter, baby. And said Vivian and her big brother are playfully adjusting to new life. Congratulations. Coming up, a nation that wants to ban meat. Yes. And the story behind the story. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Another day, must be another roofer in town. John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying Gesundheit, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesundheit is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington, Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. I want you to listen to me. Are you listening? Are you listening? This sounds like something out of a dystopian novel. Amsterdam, the capital of Dutch land, has reportedly become the first capital city in the world to ban public ads for meat and fossil fuels. They want to wipe out burgers, gas-powered cars, airline promotion from billboards, tram stops, and metro stations. It's all about reducing CO2. Well, that brings us to our guest, Gregory Wrightstone, a geologist, executive director of the CO2 Coalition, author of A Very Convenient Warming, How Modest Warming and More CO2 Are Building Humanity. Benefiting humanity. Gregory, welcome aboard again, sir.
Yeah, good. This is actually timely for me. My last book was published in Dutch in 2024, and I did a speaking tour.
You set this fire. Is that what you're telling me?
Oh, my goodness. And when I was there, it was interesting. They were proposing, the Dutch Netherlands were proposing to kill 50% of all their livestock, mainly sheep and cattle.
Right.
They were going to do it. And there was a referendum while I was there, a vote. And boy, they got beat down. The people didn't want it.
And let me remind the public quickly why they wanted to kill all the cattle and sheep. Because of flatulation. They burp and they fart and they're worried about those gases.
Yeah, well, at the risk of alienating you and correcting the host, it's really not about flatulation.
Well, I know it's not.
It's from the other end. It's belching.
Yeah.
But they belch methane, which is a greenhouse gas. But the greenhouse warming effect of methane is incredibly small.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
I don't mind you correcting me.
If you look. Okay. But it's belching. And if we look at if we look at the warming effect of methane, if we killed all of Earth's cattle today, the amount of warming averted would be, I hope you're sitting down, 0.04 degrees Celsius. That's 400ths of a degree Celsius of warming that would be averted by killing every single cow and steer on the Earth.
But wouldn't that not make the world a better place? Wouldn't it make the world a better place?
Heck no. What they do is turn otherwise indigestible grasses and cellulose into beneficial meats for us to use, high density proteins to feed the world, because we can't eat grass. These are ruminants that eat the grass and digest it. And during that process of digestion, there's fermentation that goes on that creates the methane.
No.
But the good news here, again, is this incredibly small amount of warming. And the other good news is methane actually only has a life of about 11 years. And in that time, it breaks down into water and carbon dioxide. And so they're trying all these, like I said before, bat poop crazy things that they're trying to do with killing sheep, killing wildlife. And this campaign, it's built on an exaggeration of methane's very small warming effect.
But what they're doing is turning
an ordinarily esoteric interest in atmospheric physics.
I'm going to have to counter
headlines
you, sir.
Of climate doom.
I'm going to have to counter you. The Green Left Party leader says the climate crisis is very urgent. I mean, if you want to be leading in climate policies and you rent out your walls to exactly the opposite, what are you doing? She's talking about the advertising.
Yeah, well, they get so many things wrong. This is another fallacy, is that warming is bad. Warming has historically been really, really, really good.
All right.
And there's a reason that so many people from the northern United States are moving to Texas, South Carolina, and Florida. Those are the top three destinations. It's a lot warmer here.
Yeah.
I'm in Florida. I'm sitting out on my lanai. It's about 86 right now, and I'm loving it. I do my work out here.
Well, I love it.
And it's great.
And I know you're on a tight schedule. You got another interview coming up. I do not like to disobey your honor, so you need to interview you ended the interview at this point. Is that right?
Yes, sir. And okay. But you could, again, my book is Convenient Warming. If you just search for those two words, Convenient Warming. So I will tell your listeners, life is good and getting better.
Amen.
You can learn more at A Very Convenient Warming. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gregory Wrightstone, and we appreciate his time. We had him sandwiched in between another program's interview, and I do not ever like stepping on an interviewer following us, because I've been stepped on enough and I don't like it. So we try to adhere to his time mark to get him off, and we just did. I hope it worked out fine. Now, let me go deeper into this since we don't have him with us. I want to keep this in mind. We're talking about in Amsterdam. This is not Switzerland. That's Greta Thunberg. Greta Thunberg. But it's all the same kind of mindless thinking. And I say mindless thinking. It's just a cause. It's a trend. Let me repeat again what they're doing in Amsterdam. They are basically going to do everything they can to ban public ads, just the public ads for meat and fossil fuels, much less kill the cattle and stop fossil fuel usage. So they're going to be wiping out burgers, gas-powered cars, airline promotions from billboards, train stops, and metric stations. They want that to just disappear from your eyes. There'll be no video, no pictures of that. You know what this reminds me of? Soylent Green. Did you ever see that movie? I think it was released back in the 60s. I haven't had time to double-check on my facts. But Soylent Green, presented through a prism and the photographer, everything was shaded green because they had done everything they can to try to control the earth, and they had killed all the animals. They thought they were saving the atmosphere. And you know what they were eating? They were eating each other. When someone would die, and in their dying moments, if they had a chance, they went into a big hall for a theater, and they would see pictures of wildflowers and mountains and streams running as they exist today, and that was considered to be things of the past, and let them see and revel in those things. And then they would die, and they would take their bodies, turn it into a processed food, and cannibalize. You haven't seen the movie? I strongly suggest you pull it up. Now, with what the Dutch Meat Association is doing in response, they blast this ban as, I quote, an undesirable way to influence consumer behavior, warning that meat production, essential nutrients, and should remain visible and accessible. Amen, amen. There are times I would like a steak. Other times I'll eat fish. Other times I'll eat veggies. Give me the choice. but they want to drive the cattle industry out, demolish it, and the sheep and everything else. And meanwhile, travel industry leaders say this restrictions is going to unfairly target businesses. And a lot of those who might be wanting to go a trip to Amsterdam, I don't mean just to walk through the red light district. That's a pollution when you get down to it. But they're going to back out of their trips. Why should they go there where can't even pick up a burger, can't order a steak? Oh, you can get a plant-based steak. Oh, that will suffice you. The Dutch Association of Travel Agents and Tour Operators calling the ban on airline advertising, just airline advertising, as disproportionate to commercial freedom. Freedom. That's a word in the Netherlands they're walking away from. Switzerland, Dutchland, Amsterdam in particular, and others. And yet I know, I believe there are many that live in those areas, they don't like this one bit. Well, they put apparently some people in power that were going to push this agenda. These are the same kinds of lies that were peddled upon the American people, and a lot of, quote, American people bought into it. Hook, line, and sinker. We got to get rid of all the gas cars. How's that going for you? Yeah, there are a lot of cars on the road that are electric. Some look very nice, I would say, very well styled. I happened to take an Uber to work the other day. It was a Ford Mustang, very slick, very nice. He gets about 400 plus miles on his car, but every night he recharges. He does not take long road trips. And I said, if you took a long road trip and you got down to, you know, 20%, how long would it take you to recharge it when you stop? Said, maybe an hour. I don't want to stop on a road trip for an hour. I want to fill up the gas and keep going. And the state of California has put itself in this position. I told you that yesterday, the last oil ship headed for California coming through the Strait of Hormuz arrived in the port of San Diego or California yesterday, and 2 million barrels of oil. That's the last oil they're getting for who knows how long. And they've got all the oil resources in California and off the shore, but the environmentalists shut them down. They're going to pay the price now. Coming up, the story behind the story. It was on this date, 1945, that Germany officially surrendered unconditionally. But there's still another part of the story I really want to focus on. Not the war and the ending of the war, but how President, or at that time, General Commander of the Allied Forces, Ike, treated the Nazis.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I want to share something with you. Cooking a pizza using coal creates an amazing pizza. Only one place to get it, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. Of course, they offer a wide variety of pasta, but you just visit the website NapoliSTL.com, dine in or take out, and get ready for patio season. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Try it. You can thank me later. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. VincentsJewelers.com. VincentsJewelers.com. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson.com. 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson.com. When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Now this nation that I love is falling under attack. A mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back. Soon as we could see clearly through our big black eye, man, we lit up your world like the 4th of July. Hey, Uncle Sam put your name at the top of his list, and the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist, and an eagle will fly, and it's gonna be here when you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell, and it'll feel like the whole
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
This year, they say there are 800,000 pairs of boots standing heel to heel, waiting for the Führer's final speech. And the high spot comes when, after a detailed review of Nazi achievements, Hitler cries, "My life's fight has not been in vain."
Indem ich euch hier blicke, weiß ich, mein Lebenskampf ist nicht umsonst gekämpft. Denn Sowjetzeichen soll er vor sich hertragen, und wir werden in unserem Zeichen wieder siegen.
That's kind of a frightening sound, a recording of the Führer addressing thousands and thousands of his troops. And, of course, that included the young people that were all part of his operation. Indoctrinated, deeply indoctrinated, and believed and preached to, you are superior to everyone if they're not a Jew. I mean, if they're not a German, and in particular the Jews, were to be disgusted and extinguished, which he was very good at doing it. I want to remind you of something. This is an ironic twist of fate, which on one hand would deny explanation. George Soros, big leftist Marxist contender, supplying all the socialist programs, the progressives, buying up stations across the nation so he can promote a socialist, Marxist, progressive program against all of the on all of these stations, and some exist in St. Louis. That includes KMOX. It was owned by CBS. Went into bankruptcy trying to get rid of its stations. Odyssey bought it, and in turn, Soros ends up buying it because Odyssey goes into bankruptcy. He was born a Jew. And his family smuggled them out. And he basically denounced Judaism because he didn't want to be connected because of fear of being executed at the time. But then once he's free and has a chance to have a new life, why would he revert back to controlling and dictating? which is what he wants to do. And that's where he spends all his money. And his son, who is succeeding him, apparently is even worse. That's why we tell you on this station, we are locally owned. We do not follow the corporate lead. And in fact, we're George Soros free. It's printed on the windows outside our studios. Soros free. I had somebody stop me one time. So what's that mean? A certain odorizer or something? I said, no. And yet at the same time it is, keeping the stink out of our studio. But again, it was on this date that the German Nazi commander did sign the unconditional surrender of Germany. But a lot of lives have been lost. Normandy, obviously. Normandy was a big part of the campaign.
June 6th, 1944. Early morning. Thousands of boats embark from England, headed to the French coast of Normandy. 2 years in the making, it's an Allied operation to take back France from the Germans. They call it Overlord.
Rarely in history will you find a time where these major powers are all mobilized almost to the full extent of their strength to have this confrontation over what is to happen with the Normandy invasion.
Allied soldiers will face a territory that the Germans have occupied for 4 years. Caen, Cherbourg, Saint-Lô, all the great cities of Normandy are under Nazi control. The landing zone chosen is 80 kilometers long. Placed under the command of US General Eisenhower, the troops will land on five sectors. To the west, the Utah and Omaha beaches will be taken by the Americans. To the east, the Gold, Juno, and Sword beaches by the British and Canadians.
That is one of my regrets in life. I've yet to be standing on the beaches of Normandy and imagining the blood that was shed there. You've seen it powerfully shown in Saving Private Ryan. You've seen it in other cases. The war footage, when it shows men falling as they come out of their amphibious ships, they're probably dead or dying. And a lot of the ships got hung up on coral reefs, and so when they opened the gates, men were stepping off into water that was above their head, and they were weighted down with 90-plus pounds of equipment. And, of course, then you had the Battle of the Bulge. You had other battles throughout Germany. And the Blitzkrieg that was underway against London. Then you have the battle in the Pacific. All of this, of course, the Pacific was because of Japan, but all across Europe was German. And then came a meeting that actually began yesterday, 1945.
May 6th, 1945, Reims, France. A dull, gray, rainy day. In a small red brick schoolhouse, the fate of the world was being decided. This was the supreme headquarters of the Allied Expeditionary Force, SHAEF. Outside, the streets were lined with military police. Inside, the air was thick with cigarette smoke and nervous energy. Generals from America, Britain, Russia, and France were waiting. They checked their watches. They drank bad coffee. They waited. And then, a car pulled up. Out stepped a man who looked like the perfect Prussian villain. Colonel General Alfred Jodl, the chief of operations of the German High Command, Hitler's right-hand man for 6 years. The man who had signed the orders to bomb London, to invade Russia, to execute commandos. He walked into the schoolhouse. He held his head high. He wore his monocle. His uniform was crisp. His iron cross hung around his neck. He walked with the arrogance of a man who still believed he was superior.
He wasn't. He was also the architect for the Holocaust. Yes, there is more to the story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Do you know why I endorse Cafe Napoli? All the locations? Visit any of them and you will quickly appreciate the quality of food, service, atmosphere. So maybe I'll see you at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli Kirkwood, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Or maybe you'll find me at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Now you know why I endorse Napoli. NapoliSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
He expected to be treated like a gentleman. He expected to meet with his equal, the Supreme Commander, General Dwight D. Eisenhower. He expected to sit down, drink brandy, and negotiate a soldier's peace. He was wrong. Eisenhower was sitting in his office down the hall. He saw Yodel arrive, but Eisenhower didn't stand up. He didn't walk out to greet him. Instead, he turned to his aide and gave an order that shattered the German ego. I will not see him. I will not speak to him, and I will not shake his hand. Tell him he is here to sign, not to talk. For the next 24 hours, General Yodel was left to sweat. He was treated not as a dignitary, but as a criminal, and when he tried to play games, Eisenhower delivered a threat so brutal, it forced the Germans to their knees.
He did not get the reception he thought he would be entitled to as the leading commandant of the opposing army, even though it was a surrender. And he tried to basically plea and beg and show his case.
He was escorted into the war room. It was a large room, formerly a classroom. Reims was a school. There was a large ping-pong table in the middle, covered with a green cloth. This would be the surrender table. Yodel looked around. "Where is General Eisenhower?" he asked. The American officer replied, "General Eisenhower is not here. You will deal with General Smith." Yodel was insulted. He was a colonel general. He outranked Smith. He demanded to see the Supreme Commander. The request was denied. Eisenhower stayed in his private office behind a closed door. He refused to breathe the same air as the Nazi general until the war was officially over. It was a calculated insult. It told Yodel, "You are not a head of state. You are a prisoner." The negotiations began. Or rather, the argument began. Yodel sat at the table. He played his cards. "We are willing to surrender to the West," he said, "but we cannot order our troops in the East to stop fighting. They are terrified of the Red Army." He proposed a phased surrender. "Let us surrender to you Americans now, but give us 48 hours to move our troops out of Russia." It was a trick. Yodel wanted to use those 48 hours to save the panzer divisions so they could maybe fight again later. He wanted to create a rift between America and Russia.
That was the intent, but it was never going to happen. And when he didn't meet with Ike, here's the kind of response he got.
Smith walked back into the war room. He didn't sit down. He stood over Yodel. He delivered Eisenhower's message.
"General Eisenhower says no. No delays, no phases, no deals."
Yodel tried to interrupt.
"But General," Smith slammed his hand on the table. "Listen to me. The Supreme Commander has ordered. You will sign the unconditional surrender immediately. If you do not sign, he will order the Allied lines to be closed."
Yodel froze. "Closed?" "Yes," Smith said. "We will seal the Western Front. We will not let a single German soldier cross into our lines. We will force them back. We will leave them to the Russians." And then, the final blow. "And we will stop accepting German refugees." This was the checkmate. Millions of German civilians were fleeing west. If Eisenhower closed the border, they would be trapped between the Americans and the Soviets. They would be slaughtered. Eisenhower was effectively saying...
So Yoda actually began to try to ask, give us some pity, give us some kind of pity.
He stood there, the architect of the Holocaust, asking for sympathy. The room went cold. Nobody answered him. Nobody nodded. They just stared at him with stone faces. Yodel realized he wasn't going to get any sympathy here. He snapped a salute, and he turned to leave. But before he could leave the building, Yodel was told, General Eisenhower will see you now. Yodel straightened up. He thought, finally, soldier to soldier, he will respect me. He walked down the hall to Eisenhower's office.
He walked down the hall, and then what happened once he got inside with Ike?
2:41 a.m., May 7th, 1945. The cameras were brought in. The lights were bright. Reporters stood on chairs to get a view. Yodel sat at the table. Next to him was Admiral Friedeberg. Opposite them sat Bedell Smith, representing Eisenhower, a French general, a Russian general. The document was placed in front of Yodel. Act of military surrender. It was short, simple. We, the undersigned, surrender unconditionally, all forces. Yodel picked up a pen. His hand was shaking slightly. He signed his name, Alfred Yodel.
And actually, at that point, the war ended with a drop of ink. Only then did Ike agree to see him. He marched smartly into Ike's office, stood at attention, saluted. Ike did not stand, did not salute him. Basically demeaned him in every way possible. And at the worst, refused to even shake his hand. He was fully embarrassed, as he should be. And when he went to leave, he again clicked his heels together and saluted Ike, but Ike would not even give a salute. He just kind of did a wave. You are dismissed. I love the way he treated. Our story behind the story tomorrow, the amazing story of Ted Turner and CNN he built. Second hour to come, remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Beal to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Beal. There's only one place you can get pizza cooked over coals, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Napoli Brothers has a great selection of pasta dishes. Between the pizza and pasta, trust me, you will not leave hungry. Then, a few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, a wide variety of quality cigars, each offering a unique smoke. That cigar, some premium whiskey, all you need to do is enjoy. Lit Cigar Lounge and Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Chesterfield Valley. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent's Jewelers. VincentsJewelers.com. VincentsJewelers.com. Let's be candid, honest. No out-of-state law firm can represent you better than Under Law. O-N-D-E-R. Hometown roots, attorneys living right here with you and your family. When you suffer an injury because someone else was negligent, Under Law will make sure the other party takes full responsibility. You'll get full compensation, not a backroom deal worked out with some insurance companies. And of course, we're moving into the stormy season. And again, when you have a legitimate claim, you should be properly compensated. Under Law does not toy around with adjusters, investigators, lawyers trained to cheat you of what is rightfully yours. Under Law has already recovered millions for families across Missouri and Illinois. Under wins. Not just a catchy phrase, it's a fact. So I'll repeat it. Under wins. Under Law. .com. O-N-D-E-R. Underlaw.com. Wins.
This is News Talk STL.